There's this guy I used to know. Let's call him Phil. So Phil had a spreadsheet for his spreadsheet. He had good grades, a good job, a substantial savings account, perfect posture, weekly kale smoothies, etc. He thought if he ticked enough boxes, life would finally, leave him alone. But not only did life not leave him alone, it slapped him in the face and tripped him on the stairs, and then it stole his lunch money while complimenting his tie. Because life's polite that way. It looks you in the eye while it robs you. Now, Phil spent decades trying to feel safe and secure and, stable. He chased that stability like it was a golden ticket with a guarantee, never realizing that the ticket was actually just a coupon for anxiety. So by the time he retired, he had a nice house, car, 401k, but he also had a nervous system shot to hell. He was depressed, lonely. He had consistent back, joint, and neck problems due to many years of long work hours. He was on various medications, which left him with side effects. And then at some point he developed a drinking problem, and not the kale smoothies kind. And on top of this, the house needed a new roof, and his 401k took a huge hit when the stock market crashed. Now, was he safe and secure? Was he content, healthy in mind and body? I'd say not even close. So this is the trick that the world plays on us. We're sold security as if it were an essential product, like a destination or a badge of honor. Get the right partner, the right job, the right retirement plan, the right posture, home, car, family, etc., etc. And voila, you'll finally be safe. Except you won't, because the only thing guaranteed in this life is uncertainty. And yet we just keep buying into the lie. Now, Alan Watts noticed this long before the Wall Street Anxiety Index was even a glimmer in someone's spreadsheet. He said, "The desire for security and the feeling of insecurity are the same thing." So, in other words, the tighter you grip at life, the more it just wriggles out of your hands. So comfort isn't a state, it's a scam. Packaged with good intentions and like a 3-year warranty. Now, this brings us to a few philosophical concepts I want to discuss today, which I think provide some better perspective regarding the toxic addiction to false sense of security that we have. So the concepts are non-duality and Taoism, both of which approach the same underlying reality, just from different angles. So in a nutshell, Taoism teaches us to act in harmony with natural processes rather than always trying to force our will upon them, like learning to navigate a river skillfully instead of trying to fight the current. Non-duality goes further, and it questions whether there was ever a separate navigator to begin with. The self that you think needs defending isn't a thing that flows with the river, according to non-dual understanding. That sense of separation between self and flow was never real in the first place. All right. We'll talk more about this in a minute. Because today, we're going to explore why the pursuit of safety is really just a one-way ticket to anxiety. And why control is a delusional, you know, it's just a delusion sold to us with a smile. And I want to discuss how placing your faith in the unknown and in the present moment might be the only thing that really helps us. So think of it as like an unofficial guide to surviving life without a life insurance policy for your nervous system. Okay, so let's get back to Taoism. Now, the Taoists came up with this concept of Wu Wei, usually translated as non-action, but more accurately, it means effortless action, doing without forcing. So think of a skilled jazz musician. They're not making the notes happen. The notes appear because the fingers and the horn and the air have all learned to trust each other. And yeah, the skill is paramount, but the struggle is gone. That's Wu Wei. It's movement born from deep familiarity rather than from panic and clenched teeth. Now, most of us live our lives gripping the handlebars of existence like we're about to flip off a cliff. We micromanage our days and track our steps, track our sleep. We monitor our social performance and so on and so forth. And we do all of this in the name of safety and control. Now, Taoism would just laugh and point out that we're riding a bicycle like maniacs, white knuckles on the bars, and overcorrecting every little wobble. Wu Wei is the moment you unclench and actually feel how balance works. Not by force, but by subtle responsiveness and by letting go. And to be clear, Wu Wei doesn't mean you're just sitting around drooling into your coffee. It takes attention and some skill, and it takes awareness. It's deep surgical precision disguised as ease. So it's about knowing the river well enough to stop flailing and actually just float with it. All right, now, non-duality goes even deeper. So where Taoism refines how you act, non-duality questions who you think is acting. So the radical claim here is that the you supposedly steering the bicycle is just a mental overlay. Now, Alan Watts called it the universe peeking at itself. So the lines we draw, self versus world, me versus them, me versus reality, they're constructs. like conceptual graffiti on a wall that's always been blank. Now, this isn't just Watts waxing cosmic. There's other teachers as well who've talked about this stuff. One of them is Nisargadatta Maharaj. Now, this teacher stripped it right to the bone. Wisdom tells me I am nothing. Love tells me I am everything. Between the two, my life flows. No incense, no cosmic glitter, just a blunt reminder that the self you're desperately defending is a mirage. And the mirage isn't separate from the desert it appears in. Are we making sense yet? Okay, so ultimately the boundaries between self and world are conceptual. Fences, you know, they're conceptual fences hammered into an open sky. So thoughts, perceptions, sensations, etc., they're not happening to a separate you. They're movements within one seamless field of awareness. Ramana Maharshi, another non-dual teacher, boiled it down to this simple single question. Who am I? And not as a self-help mantra, but as an actual investigation. So when you look for the you who's supposedly having all these experiences, what exactly do you find? I mean, non-duality dares you to go look for this separate self. Like, really look for it. I mean, where is it? Is it behind the eyes? Is it under the ribs somewhere? Well, sorry, but it's really just a ghost. It was never there. Now, this is where Taoism and non-duality meet. So, ultimately, Taoism teaches you how to stop thrashing around in life's currents. And non-duality tells you the thrashing self and the currents were never two separate things to begin with. They were always one messy, glorious, terrifying flow. And neither tradition hands you a productivity hack. Look at it like this. They're more like corrective lenses. Slip them on, and you start to see what was always there, minus the fog of assumptions. And once you begin to see this, all your frantic effort to control and endlessly optimize or fix yourself, it suddenly looks less like wisdom and more like you were trying to escape your own shadow. And that, my friends, I find hilarious. It's also terrifying, but I think it's also hilarious. Okay. So what happens if you ignore Taoism and non-duality? When you treat life like it owes you a safety net and the universe is some kind of hostile accountant? Well, you get Phil. Or 95% of us, really. I mean, most of us are Phil. Now, Phil spent decades building a fortress out of spreadsheets, apps, alarm systems, posture drills, emergency kits, productivity hacks, and so on. And he thought that if he just controlled every variable, life would stop punching him in the face. But unfortunately, it didn't, because life doesn't negotiate. And I mean, let's face it. Life doesn't care if your Excel formulas are neat. Life is like a polite mugger. It compliments your tie while it takes your wallet. And the psychological cost, well, it's beautiful. We get constant tension, chronic low-grade panic, a nervous system turned or tuned like a weapon, and an uncanny ability to worry about things that haven't even happened yet and probably never will. It's endless. So, anxiety is what you get when you're holding the handlebar so tight that you can't even feel the bike under you. And this isn't just an individual experience. I mean, society is one giant fill where we are always trying to fill the bottomless void of fear through control. We've got suburbs with cul-de-sacs that double as panic rooms. Cameras are everywhere. Apps to monitor your kids, your health, your sleep, your breathing patterns. And we bubble wrap life because we're afraid of getting cut. And in the process, we cut ourselves off from actually living. Now, here's where non-duality throws a Molotov into the whole enterprise. The self you're trying to defend is mostly smoke. There's no separate you who can get hurt in the first place. So anxiety is often just a narrative your brain tells you about itself. The world isn't actually attacking you, your illusion of self is staging a defense drill. Now, Alan Watts liked to point this out. You are not a puppet fighting the universe. You are the universe experiencing itself. Now, sometimes it flails a little when it doesn't know the next note. That's just part of the process. But if you realize that, now the panic doesn't vanish, but it does stop being a constant siege. It becomes more like a dance. And you might, of course, step on a few toes, but at least you're dancing. You're moving through it. And nature, oh man, I mean, nature is like hitting the reset button on your nervous system. I mean, at least it is for me. Because you can't control a forest. You can't make a river wait for your schedule. You can't convince a tree to stay while you untangle all your to-do lists. Step into it, and for a few minutes, the illusion of control actually starts to unravel. The air smells different. The body relaxes. Maybe you remember what it's like to exist without a hostage contract for every single thought. And the absurd part is that you've been training for a battle that doesn't really exist, thinking safety is something that you earn. And the whole time, reality has been trying to hand you a front row seat to the show you were too busy micromanaging to see. All right, so now you've seen the mess, the fortress of backup plans, the panic rooms, the constant rehearsals for disasters that don't exist. Now what? I mean, do we all just quit our jobs and live in a treehouse? Well, it sounds kind of nice. But I mean, let's be honest. Most of us aren't ready to check out completely. We need something a little more subtle. Something that doesn't require renouncing society or coffee, in my case. So I'd start with microdoses of risk. Like tiny rebellions against your illusion of safety. Say the thing you actually think in a meeting. Don't check your email for an hour. Miss a bus. Drop the grocery list. Watch the world stubbornly refuse to, you know, implode. And look, your nervous system, it gets a little exercise from this. You start to see that maybe it's not a life that's really dangerous. It's the tightrope act you've been rehearsing inside your skull. That's the real danger. And then make actual contact with reality. Not a nature documentary or a curated Instagram post. I mean real life. Dirt under your fingernails, wind in your hair, moss or sand between your toes. The trees don't care about your anxiety. The river doesn't judge your credit score. Step into that space, even just for a few minutes. And your body remembers what it feels like to exist without a surveillance camera on every thought. Also, let things fall apart on purpose. Cancel something. Screw up a plan. Watch Netflix instead of being productive. Maybe ignore a reminder. And maybe some chaos will erupt. And maybe it won't. Either way, you're going to survive. And you realize that a lot of your frantic effort was just shadow boxing with a ghost. Practice a little wu-wei in the mundane. For instance, you know, cook without a recipe. Take a walk with no destination or time constraint. Sit in a cafe and do nothing. Watch a conversation meander instead of needing to interject and control it somehow. You don't always need to be right. Just, you know, let it go. There are so many arguments and interactions that just we can just let go of. We pay attention. And all that stuff is really just the ego flexing itself in the mirror anyway. And trust the ghost self. Non-duality, it'll ruin you if you take it too seriously and you overthink it. But I think in the right dose, it's liberating. You know, look for that separate you and notice that it isn't there and be okay with that. Anxiety, ego, ambition, grasping, you know, these things all shrink when you realize you're not some fragile vessel being attacked by reality. You're the river, the forest, the wind, the weird guy tripping over a root while laughing about it. I mean, you're all of that. And suddenly the fight feels kind of silly. I mean, there are so many small mishaps we can just let go of on a daily basis. And let nature be your tutor. not go for a hike and take a picture, but there's nothing wrong with that. But I mean really be outside where squirrels don't care about your inbox, and where rivers and trees don't care about your posture or your career plan or whatever. Nature doesn't require performance. It's just happening. And being around that reminds you that all your grasping and plotting are really optional. You can just relax. You can let the river move you. Now, of course, none of this is going to erase anxiety completely. None of it will make the universe suddenly polite or sensible. But I think it'll slowly chip away at the illusion that you're separate and that control is possible, that safety and security is something you can actually buy. And you start to see that the river doesn't need to be managed. You don't need to be protected. You just need to unclench and float. And if that sounds like bad news, well, then maybe you finally stumbled into freedom disguised as panic. Now, the art of effortless action isn't some mystical skill. It's noticing how the world moves when you stop trying to wrestle it into submission. And you start to see that the fight itself was the joke. And the punchline is that you were already part of the flow, already in the river all along. Okay, so here's the takeaway. Comfort is a scam, and control is a hallucination, and the self you're defending is mostly a ghost. But if you dare to loosen the grip and let go, even for a little while, you might just start living in a way that doesn't feel like a hostage negotiation with reality. And I think for most of us, that's a pretty good start. And of course, there's a lot more I could say on this topic, as it's fairly in-depth stuff, but there's a lot of information out there about Taoism and non-duality, which, you know, you're free to explore on your own. I guess that's all I got today. As always, thanks for watching.